Hello, and welcome to another episode of Bridging the Gap, a GASBE podcast. I am Joel Black, chairman of the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. In this episode, we will discuss a preliminary views due process document that is out on our project. It's entitled Severe Financial Stress and Probable Dissolution Disclosures. In this episode, our thoughtful host, Matt Roeder, Vice President of Communications of the Financial Accounting Foundation, will chat with Deborah Beams, GASBE Supervising Project Manager and leader of this project. Over to you, Matt.
Thank you, Joel. Thank you so much for joining us today, Deborah. This is a really timely and interesting topic. I say timely because there is a June 30th deadline to stakeholders for the document that we're going to be talking about today. And I say interesting because, you know, we all know that severe financial stress for local governments is a real thing. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does happen, there's certainly a big focus on a city or a county or a town's financial reports, which is what we're going to get into right now. So to begin, if you could just walk us through the background of the GASBE's current project, Ongoing Concern Uncertainties and Severe Financial Stress. I understand the story begins nearly two decades ago.
Sure, and thank you, Matt, for having me on the podcast today. So our project is called Going Concern Uncertainties and Severe Financial Stress. And the GASBE's existing guidance on going concern resides in our Statement 56. So that statement resulted from a request of the AICPA that certain accounting and financial reporting guidance that was housed in the AICPA's audit literature be adopted by the GASBE because it was really financial reporting guidance. And so in doing so, the board decided to take an approach that adopted the accounting and financial reporting requirements essentially as they existed in the AICPA's literature, only modifying the language as appropriate to discuss governments and the governmental environment, but not changing the substance of the provisions. So Statement 56 was issued in 2009. And in 2015, we began pre-agenda research on the topic of going concern. And this was our chance to deliberate or research the substance of the provisions that were put forth in Statement 56. So the reason for doing that research was to evaluate whether that guidance in Statement 56 provided sufficient guidance for the governmental environment. And we had heard from some of our stakeholders that there was inconsistency in practice in applying the going concern guidance.
Got it. So you rolled up your sleeves in 2015. And since then, what have you and the GASBE staff learned from your research efforts?
So the research was a very long effort and involved a number of staff members over the years. But ultimately, the research corroborated what we heard from stakeholders, that the existing guidance in Statement 56 presents challenges to preparers and auditors in evaluating a government's ability to continue as a going concern. And those challenges result in diversity in practice. In addition, the research found that few governments dissolve or cease operations as a result of financial stress. That is, financial stress often does not lead to dissolution of governments, and dissolution of governments often is not caused by financial stress. The research also found that there is no definitive single indicator or set of indicators that consistently identifies or predicts the financial condition of all governments. So as a result of this research, the board decided to add a project to the current agenda on going concern and severe financial stress. And deliberations on this project began in July of 2022 and have led us to this point of issuing a preliminary views.
So those sound like interesting and important, and I may even say counterintuitive findings, this notion that financial stress and dissolution are actually completely separate concepts. Now that the board has had some time to digest the staff's research, what are the key elements that stakeholders will find in the preliminary views document?
So the board's overall preliminary view is what you just said. Financial stress and continued existence are two distinct notions. Now, sometimes they might go together, but often they do not. So there would be separate guidance for each of those. Sometimes there would be an overlap, but sometimes there would not be. And the preliminary views uses two different terms for these notions. There's the section on severe financial stress to discuss the financial stress and financial condition, and then probable dissolution, which is related to the continued existence. Now, notice that neither of those terms includes the words going concern. The board believes that there would be greater clarity by using more descriptive terms that do not have a history in our literature.
Oh, I see. So the board wants to get away from this, I would say, ambiguous concept of going concern, which might make more sense in the private sector context, and instead focus on these two other concepts that you articulated, severe financial stress and probable dissolution. Looking first at severe financial stress, what does the preliminary views document have to say about that relative to financial statements?
So the notion of severe financial stress in the preliminary views is it's about the government's financial condition as of the financial statement date. And that's regardless of whether there's any uncertainty about its continued existence. Disclosures would be required if a government is near or at the point of insolvency. Insolvency would be defined as either not meeting obligations as they come due or being unable to meet obligations as they come due, which is similar to the definition of insolvency in the U.S. Bankruptcy Code. Being near insolvency is about the proximity to insolvency and is related to how severe a government's financial condition is compared to insolvency. They're not actually insolvent, but it's pretty bad that it's near that. It is not about a time frame that the government is expected to become insolvent within a certain period of time. It is about the severity of their condition today, regardless of whether it gets worse or better in the future. And so the preliminary views has a list of example indicators that governments could use to assess whether they are near insolvency. So if a government is in this severe financial stress condition, they are near or at insolvency, they would be required to make certain disclosures in the notes to the financial statements. And those disclosures would be the reasons and causes for the condition, the government's evaluation of the significance of those reasons and causes, actions taken by the government in response, known effects of the condition, as well as if there is severe financial stress disclosures in one period, there might be some additional disclosures to be made in subsequent periods if that condition persists or if it has been alleviated.
Okay, and turning to probable dissolution, what does the preliminary views document have to say about that?
The notion of probable dissolution is about the uncertainty of a government's continued legal existence, regardless of what its financial condition is. So here, disclosures would be required if it is probable that a government will cease to exist as the same legally separate entity within 12 months of the date the financial statements are available to be issued. And that could be through a merger, an acquisition, or simply a dissolution without replacement. Relevant factors would be considered in evaluating the likelihood of dissolution, and examples of relevant factors to consider are provided in the preliminary views. So if a government meets this condition, there are certain disclosures to be made in the notes to the financial statements, and those disclosures would be a statement that dissolution is probable, the reasons and causes for that, the government's evaluation of the significance of those reasons and causes, actions taken by the government in response, and information about the recoverability amounts or classification of assets and liabilities. In addition, if there was probable dissolution in one period, there might be some additional disclosures in the next period.
Thanks for those summaries. My next two questions are related to each other. The first one is, how can stakeholders provide feedback to the GASB on this preliminary views document?
So there are two ways to provide feedback. There are written comments and participation in the public forums. So written comments can be submitted either through a traditional comment letter or through filling out the electronic feedback form, which is done using an online survey tool. The second opportunity to provide feedback is through the public forums, and we are planning a series of forums, some of them here in person in Norwalk, Connecticut, and some will be held virtually so that travel is not a barrier to anyone's participation. The forums are going to be in a roundtable format. Ideally, each one is going to have a mix of financial statement preparers, auditors, and users sitting around a table with the board, having a discussion and a dialogue about the issues in the preliminary views. So information about how to submit written comments or a notice of intent to participate in the public forums is in the preliminary views document. And as you mentioned, there is a June 30th deadline for both of those.
And it goes without saying, but all of this information is available on the GASB website, gasb.org.
Correct.
My second related question might actually be more important from the board's point of view. Why is it that stakeholders should provide feedback at this stage of the standard setting process?
So the GASB's due process procedures are designed to encourage broad public participation in the standard setting process. The more feedback we get from a variety of stakeholders, ultimately the better our end product is going to be. So a preliminary views document seeks comments on the board's current views on the issues in a project at a relatively early stage of that project. What that means is the proposals that are in this preliminary views document are subject to change, and particularly based on the feedback that is received on it. And we have many examples from other projects of things that have changed based on stakeholder feedback, particularly after a preliminary views document. Because everything is subject to change, it's important that stakeholders tell us which of these proposals they agree with, along with those that they disagree with, and the reasons for their agreement or disagreement.
That makes total sense. The project already has a long history. So what should stakeholders expect in the months ahead?
So after reviewing the feedback that we receive, both the written comments and through the public forums, we plan to start the redeliberation process this fall, where the board will take all that feedback and decide what they want to do going forward based on that. The next step in the project would be to issue an exposure draft, which would be another round of due process seeking public comment on the board's latest thinking on a certain topic. Our goal is to have an exposure draft out next summer.
That is terrific. I'll remind our listeners that the deadline for commenting on the preliminary views document is June 30th. Deborah, thank you so much for coming to join us and explain all this. We'll have you back on the podcast again to let us know how the board's thinking continues to evolve on this interesting topic. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you all so much for tuning in with us to this episode of Bridging the Gap. We hope you'll join us again, and please be sure to visit gasb.org/podcast to subscribe and to stay updated on future episodes. You can also follow the GASB on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X, previously Twitter. Bridging the Gap is a production of the Financial Accounting Foundation, produced by myself, Eileen Foley, and brought to audiovisual life by Patrick Dorsman. So until next time, keep balancing those books, crunching those numbers, and embracing the art of financial reporting.